So praise the Lord. And again, it's good to see each and every one. And so many bright yellow shirts and dresses, and that's awesome, all right? And we could turn the lights out and be okay today, so that'd be a good thing, all right? But 1 Peter chapter number 2, again, it's Sunshine Sunday. And again, we just want to take a day to, I know it's fall time, but an opportunity to collect some things and to just be a blessing to other people. And because for many people, you know, some are going through difficult times, or their health is failing them, or other reasons. And just to know that people care is a blessing. It's important that you tell people that you love them and you care about them. I encourage you every chance you get. It wouldn't hurt you right now to look at the person next to you. Just tell them you love them and you appreciate them, all right? And Brother Fountain, I love you and appreciate you. You're sitting by yourself, so I thought I'd hit you, all right? Brother, all of you. All right, yeah, all right? Amen. So, 1 Peter chapter number 2, I'm looking forward to a day when we get to heaven. And do you know the Bible says about heaven that there is no night, because He is the light. When we get to heaven, there will never be darkness again. Isn't that a wonderful thing? Now, I grew up, I'm a little sharing here. When I grew up, as I was growing up, my dad struggled really bad with migraine headaches. And he had them really, really bad. And I always said he had them as long as I could remember. And my dad said they started when I was born. So I don't know what that meant. But he had them really, really bad. And when he had them, yeah, we had to have all the lights out in the house. Curtains had to be drawn, no lights on, because it just bothered him so bad. Right, Mom? All the lights were out. So, I mean, literally, you know, we grew up, when we were in the living room, it was dark. The light, curtains drawn, no lamps on, lights out. And because that's, you know, if I read in the living room, it's a little flashlight or something like that. You know, but it was just the way it was. I remember when I got married, you know, like, in the first week I was married, I had the shades drawn, all the lights were out, and I'm sitting in the living room. My wife walks in, she goes, "Why are you in the dark?" And I just looked at her and said, "Is there something different?" You know, I had no idea. And she turned on the lights. I was like, "Oh," you know, I was just like, "Ah." And, you know, and I realized there's a whole new world. You know, it's amazing having the lights on. And now I've gone to the other end. Like, I just love bright lights. I love I have, like, the most powerful LEDs, been my friend of life. I just love them, all right? I got the light bulbs that you can control, you know, with my phone. It's amazing. I can speak. I have that little Alexa thing. I can walk in and say, "Alexa, turn on the lights." Boom. It's so awesome. You may think that's weird, but when you have them in your room at night and you're just laying down, you can read and say, "Alexa, turn the lights out." That is the greatest thing ever, all right? But anyways, and I not only have lights, I got the brightest LED lights. Like, if you stand in my hallway with the light I just put up, literally, it will singe the hair on top of your head, all right? I mean, I just got the brightest light. When we hooked it up, I had my wife come in, because every husband, after you do a job, you have to brag to your wife, right? I'm not the only one. Go ahead and admit it, man, all right? I finally got it hooked up. I said, "Hey, Stace, come here." She walked in there. I was like, "Chink." She's like, "Oh, you know, this is so bright." I love it. It's like the greatest thing. I feel like it's one of them big round ones. I feel like I'm Captain Kirk energizing because it's so bright. But it's really, never mind. All right, but anyways, I like bright lights. And I do, you know, we changed the lights in here and went daylight. And I just like bright lights. You say, "Well, I like it dark." Well, the Bible says men love darkness. So, yeah, you're just wicked. All right, but in any case, no, I'm kidding. All right, but I like the light, and the Bible says about the Lord Jesus Christ, stop and think about this, that in Him is no darkness at all. Isn't that a wonderful thing? He is light. And I want you to see something real quick. In 1 Peter chapter number 2, and let's stand, if you're able to, just in respect to the reading of the Word of God, because this book is precious, all right? And we want to show that honor here. And in 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse number 6, it says, "Wherefore also it is contained in the Scripture, Behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect precious, And he that believeth on him shall not be confounded. Unto you therefore which believe, he, that's Jesus, he is precious. Amen. But unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders allowed, the same is made the head of the corner. In a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense, even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient, whereunto also they were appointed. Now I'll pause there. We'll keep reading in a second. But what these verses are saying is Jesus Christ is the cornerstone. He is the one that we are to build our lives upon. We as believers should build our life upon Jesus Christ. And to us that know the Lord Jesus Christ, he is so precious to us. And if you don't know the Lord, if you'll trust in him today, you'll see just how precious he is as well. But the fact is, it goes on to say that those who do not know the Lord, those who reject the Lord Jesus Christ, it says there in verse number 8 that he becomes a stone of stumbling or a rock of offense. People stumble at his word. Now, what that verse is saying is this, that whenever we, you know, choose to be disobedient, this book and the things of God, it just always seems to offend. You know, to those that are not saved or those who are living maybe are saved, but living a disobedient life, you're always offended by the word of God. Or you're offended by the preaching. Or you're always finding something to stumble over or to be offended at. And, you know, and I just, you know, want to share this. It's not the Bible. It's our choices that we make. Because the Bible's the truth. But we'll keep reading here in verse number 9. But ye, those who are saved and are building their life upon Christ, ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. Did you know before I got saved, I really had no idea what life was all about. I was just wandering through this life in darkness. But the day I got saved, God pulled me out of that darkness. He placed me in his marvelous light, and I now have a purpose. I now have something to live for. I know that my Redeemer loves me, and I love him. And I want to encourage you tonight, or today, to look at this passage with me and consider what a joy it is to be drawn out of darkness into his marvelous light. Let's pray. Father, Lord, I thank you, Lord, for your many blessings. And Lord, help us today as we look at your word. I pray the Spirit of God will be in complete control. And I know the devil's fought this day. He's fought me. He's fought in my life. And Lord, I just pray that, Lord, you would get the victory. Your blood would cover it all. And that, God, we would just be a surrendered instrument in your hand. Now speak to our hearts. Help all of us to be encouraged from the word of God. And Lord, if there's anyone here today that does not know they're going to heaven, I pray that they would see the truth in your word this morning. And Lord, I love you. Help us to realize the great love you have for us. In your name I pray, amen. Thank you, and be seated. Now I'm thankful. The Bible says there in verse number 9, it says, he hath called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. Now, why did God do this? Why would God do this? Why would God want to call us out into his marvelous light? Well, it says in that verse number 9 that we would be a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him. We ought to live our life for one purpose after we're saved. We should live our life to show forth the praises of him. If he has saved you, if you know you're going to heaven, you have much to be thankful for today. And we ought to live our life so that others can see just how thankful we are to God. Now, I know that we have, you know, standards, and we, you know, talk a certain way and maybe act a certain way. I read another pastor this week. It was his statement. He said this, "My standards and convictions are not for an expression or display to others of my faith in Christ, but they are an expression of my love for him." And I thought that was excellent, all right? We live our life the way we do, not in order to obtain anything special from God. It means you are in no better place spiritually, all right? God's not going to, you know, applaud you or pour out something special just because you're trying to earn His love. He loves you no matter what, and I'm thankful for that. But I try to live a holy life, and I want to do that because I love Him. And I do that because I am to live my life as a believer, showing forth His praises, who called me out of darkness and into this marvelous light. Now, what is that verse talking about? Out of darkness into His marvelous light. Well, look at it there, and I'll just give you three thoughts. Number one, I want you to notice a former condition. A former condition. See, what is our former condition? In verse number 9, He called us out of darkness. Now, I'm looking at you today, and I'm able to say that the Lord Jesus Christ is precious to me. I love Him. I'm trying to build my life upon Him being the chief cornerstone. I want to live my life and show forth His praises because He has drawn me, He has removed me out of the darkness that I was in. You see, before we got saved, and if you're here today and you don't know you're going to heaven, you're in good company because we were all that way. We were born that way. You see, when we're born into this world, we enter a life of sin and a life of darkness. I was born in darkness, and so were you. The Bible says in Proverbs chapter number 4 and verse number 19, "The way of the wicked is as darkness, they know not at what they stumble." You know, a life before I met Jesus, I was walking in darkness. I didn't know, you know, the joy of salvation. I didn't know the confidence of knowing you're going to heaven. I lived my life walking in darkness. And as Proverbs says, I knew not at what I stumbled. I would fall. I would continue doing things that I shouldn't do. You know, no one ever had to teach me how to lie. I came by it naturally. No one had to ever teach me how to steal. I promise you, my mom or my dad never sat down and gave me a lesson on how to be a thief. They gave me many lessons on how not to be a thief, right? But they taught me. And I remember, you know, one of my friends and growing up was, you know, Brother Matt Martin. And we were in Sunday school in fifth grade. And my dad, he always got the church being, you know, one of the preacher's kids. He got the church at like 7 in the morning on Sundays. And there's nothing to do at church at 7 in the morning. So we were always having this contest in Sunday school. And when you said your verse and you brought your Bible, you got this star on the chart. And the first person to fill the chart up got a brand new transformer. Now, that was the toys, all right? And back then, that was sweet, all right? And I can tell you which one it was. It was Cup. It was blue. He was awesome, all right? Anyways, all right? But, you know, and I wanted this, but so did Matt. But the problem was this, you know, I was kind of lazy. I didn't learn all my verses. But Matt memorized every verse. And he came in every Sunday and said his verse. Well, I was there early at 7 in the morning one Sunday. I was like, I know where the stars are. Right? So I went in the cabinet and got the stars. Said my verse that next Sunday, and I got the transformer. And Matt looked at me and said, "Didn't you miss a few weeks?" I was like, "I don't know what you're talking about." Right? And I got that transformer. And to be honest, I've never told that story before. Did you know that story? Yeah, all right, yeah, all right. Now, Matt knew that story because Matt went to the teacher. He's like, "Travis cheated." She's like, "What? You know, the preacher's kid did evil." Oh, right? I'm just telling you, they are evil, all right? And so she bought Matt the same transformer. But I got to keep mine for some reason. So, you know, the moral of the story is that's a terrible story. But in any case, no one had to teach me how to lie. No one had to teach me how to steal. No one had to teach me. Why? Because we were born in darkness. I wasn't saved. You know, and even though I'd been raised in church, I was not saved in fifth grade. I did not know the Lord as my Savior. And I knew not at what I stumbled. We lie, we cheat, we steal, we think bad things, we look at bad things, we talk about bad things. You know why? Because we are born in darkness. And I even tell you something else. And don't look at me weird, because you're the same way.
Yes, sir.
You loved darkness.
Yes, sir.
I loved the darkness. The Bible says there in John chapter 3 that men love darkness better than light. Our flesh enjoys sin. Our flesh likes to sin. I enjoyed getting that transformer by cheating. All right? I enjoyed it as a kid. I was wicked. You're all staring at me like I just totally broke your trust. All right? You were wicked too. All right? We've all done things we all knew not at what we stumbled. We lived in darkness and we liked it. Why is a person going back to the bar stool tonight? Because they like it. Why is the drug addict going back to the drug? Because they like it. Why is the person standing up and using God's name in vain and cursing? Because they like it. Why is fornication going on and adultery? Because they like it. Men love the darkness. Men enjoy sin. That's the way we were born. Look at that verse that I just referred to, just to see the verse. In John chapter number 3. Turn there real quick. John chapter number 3. And I'll read to you probably the most popular, well-known verse in the Bible. But I want you to see it all in context. In John chapter 3, and look at verse number 16. You know this verse. John 3 and verse number 16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Praise the Lord. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Did you know Jesus wants you to be saved? That's why he came. He does not want anyone to go to hell. Verse number 18, he that believeth on him is not condemned. Amen. He that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation. Why is man condemned already? That light is come into the world. Who is that light? That's Jesus. But what's the problem? And men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light. Fact is this, Jesus came to share that light, to share the good news. Why isn't there a line standing outside the church today of people waiting to come in to learn how to go to heaven? Because men love darkness. And I'm not throwing stones at them. I was that way and so were you. We love darkness. And the fact is this, that the devil wanted to keep us in the dark. Look over a few pages to the right in 2 Corinthians chapter number 4. Look at this verse with me. 2 Corinthians chapter number 4. And in verse number... we'll start reading in verse number 3. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and in verse number 3. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. You see, if you're not sure you're going to heaven, the Bible describes this as being lost, because you don't know where you're going. But in verse number 4, in whom the god of this world, that's the devil, little g, in whom the god of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. You know what the devil does? Now, here's the whole idea, all right? Tyler, can you slip out? I can use you, right? Yeah, he loves this, all right? My new fishing buddy. We went fishing. He caught a fish. That big, right?
You got the same fish.
I caught the same one. The fact is this, we were all born in darkness, right? Shut your eyes. And the Lord wanted him to see the light, and the light's here. the gospel's not being hid. It's being preached. It's being preached this morning. But you know what the devil's trying to do this morning? Tyler, you don't need to listen to this. Tyler, don't listen to this. See, how does the devil do that? He sends distractions. He'll maybe someone, let's be honest, maybe someone who said they went to church, did something wrong, and the devil says, see, you don't want that. The devil does anything he can, any excuse he can, to keep us blinded from seeing the truth. And the fact is this, that you and I, we were born that way. And the devil does his best to try to keep us from hearing the truth. And we like our darkness. And so we're living this life going on. But I'm thankful today. Turn back to John chapter number 1. All right, John chapter 1. I know we're using our Bible a lot, but I want you to see this. In the book of John chapter number 1, while we were born in darkness, but Jesus is that light. We like our darkness because our flesh likes doing evil things. And the devil's trying to keep us from hearing the truth. But in John chapter number 1, look in verse number 1. Let's read a few verses. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him. And without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. Now there was a man that was sent from God, whose name was John. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. Now John, he was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. By the way, all of us as Christians are sent to bear witness of that light. That Jesus said these words, ye are the light of the world. We are to tell other people about the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ. Verse number 9, that was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. Did you know Jesus wants to shine this light upon every man that comes into the world? Everybody that has ever had life, it is God's intention. He is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. God wants everyone to hear the truth. Maybe you've never heard this before, and you're here this morning hearing it for the first time, or maybe the first time in a long time. You say, why am I here? Because God wants everyone to see and to know about this light. We'll keep reading verse 10. He was in the world. That's talking about Jesus now. The world was made by him. The world knew him not. He came into his own. We celebrate Christmas. He came and was born. But his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. If you will believe in Jesus Christ, you can become one of his children too. Verse 13, which were born not of blood. In other words, if you get saved, it's not because of the family you're in, nor the will of the flesh. It's not because you did it, nor the will of man. Even though I want you to be saved, I can't do that for you. The only way you can be saved is by God. And the Word, verse 14, was made flesh. That's Jesus. He came to this world and he dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Did you know Jesus came to this earth for one reason? To bring the glorious light of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, what is that gospel that we've talked about? We understand now we are born in darkness. The devil wants us to stay in darkness. We kind of like our darkness. But Jesus came to shine a light. Well, what is that light? In our text, it says he called us out of darkness. He has called us. Ooh, let's stop and think about that. We had a former condition. We were in darkness. But now we see the Father's call. He hath called us. Now, how does God shine this light upon us? Well, there's a couple things. We're going to use our Bibles again because I want you to see. It's not Travis Burke's opinion. This is what God said. Just turn over real quick to, and we'll do this real quick, Romans chapter number 7. In Romans chapter number 7 and in verse number 7. In Romans 7 and in verse number 7. Now, what we're reading here, by the way, is not some man's opinion. This is the Word of God. Now, I know that God used a man to write down, but all it was is man being an instrument as God told him what to write down. It's like if I, you know, for some reason, you know, maybe my hands got injured, and I said, Brother Slee, would you please write this note to my wife, all right? And I say, I love you, right? And I do love my wife. Brother Slee's not telling her that he loves her, even though, you know, he loves her in Christ, but not the way I do. And I love her, right? He may be doing the writing, but it's my words. This book right here, I know men used the pen, but it was God who spoke it. And this is what God said here in Romans chapter 7 and verse number 7. It says, what shall we say then? Is the law sin? God forbid. Nay, I had not known sin, but by the law. For I had not known lust, except the law had said, thou shalt not covet. Now, there's more scriptures, but we'll stop right there. What is the Bible saying here? How does this light shine on us? Number one, ready? The law makes us wise to sin. The law, say, what law are you talking about? God's law. It all starts there in Exodus chapter 20 with what is referred to as the Ten Commandments. All right? Everybody knows the Ten Commandments, right? I don't know whether you can quote them, but you've heard of them, all right? Thou shalt have no other gods before me. We're not to take the Lord's name in vain. We're not to have any graven images. We're to honor our father and mother, not kill, not commit adultery, not covet. And all these different things that are written in the Ten Commandments, you sit there and say, well, preacher, why are they so important? All right? They are important because they teach us what sin is. Because if it wasn't for the law, I wouldn't know what sin is. I know that murder is wrong because the Bible says thou shalt not kill. And before we all sit there and kind of, you know, shine our halos and say, well, I've not murdered anyone. Well, Jesus said in his eyes that if you look at someone and you hate them, or you look at someone and said, I hate you, or in your heart, whether you say it or not, you have anger burning inside of you in God's eyes, it's the same as murder. Well, I've never, the Bible says, the Ten Commandments, thou shalt not commit adultery. I've never done that. The fact is, about everybody in this room is guilty. Because in the Lord's eyes, if you just looked at someone and thought wicked things, you've committed adultery in your heart. And if I went through that list of Ten Commandments, I could prove to you today that we have broken every one of them. You know what that means? We're sinners. I know I'm a sinner because of the law. The law makes me wise to what sin is. I learn. Now, the law's not evil, but it teaches me that I'm evil. And the Bible says there's none righteous, no, not one. I've sinned, you've sinned. That's what I was talking about. We were born in what? Darkness. Born in our sin. So the law makes us wise to sin. Now turn over a little bit to the right and more. 2 Timothy chapter number 3. 2 Timothy chapter number 3. Few pages to the right, you'll come to 1 Timothy, 2 Timothy. In 2 Timothy chapter number 3 and in verse number 15. 2 Timothy 3:15, Paul's talking to a young man named Timothy, to the book this book was addressed to, and it says this in 2 Timothy 3:15, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. You see, the law makes us wise to sin. Then the scriptures makes us wise to salvation. We learn, first of all, that we are sinners. And then we learn from this book that there is someone who loves us and paid the penalty for our sins. You see, you and I, we are all sinners. I think we've established that. We've all broken the law. Romans says the wages of sin is death. You and I, because of our sin, we cannot make it to heaven. We cannot get there on our own. I don't care how good a person you are. I don't care whether you have been in church like me since you were 5 days old, or whether you very first time in your life are sitting in an auditorium. You and I both share this. We are sinners. And even though we may try to do good things, the standard of holiness is God. And I'm not that holy. And you're not that holy. And the scriptures, law teaches us that we're sinners. But the scriptures make us wise to salvation. In other words, it teaches how we can be saved. You say, all right, preacher, how can I then get to heaven? The scriptures tells us that there is one, we've already read the verse. God so loved the world. God loved every one of us so much. Knowing what the penalty for our sin was. For God so loved the world that he sent, he gave his only begotten Son. Jesus Christ, God's Son, who is perfect, came to this earth. He was born, as we talk about at Christmas time, and there in a manger, but that's not why he came. Shepherds came and wise men would later come, but that's not why he came. You see, over 30 years of age, he went to the cross. That's why he came. People who were put on the cross had committed a crime worthy of death. And the judge's own words about Jesus were this: I find no fault in him. He did nothing wrong. So why did he die? Ready? Here's the answer. Because we're sinners. As much as I love Brother Haddix, I can't die for his sin because I'm in just as bad place as he is. And he can't die for my sin because he's a sinner just like me. But Jesus, who is God, came to this earth and he died for our sins. He paid for our sins, and then after he died, praise the Lord, and we'll talk about this tonight, all right? He rose from the grave. And he rose because what he was saying before that, the wages of sin was what? If Jesus stayed dead, then death won. But he didn't stay dead. He arose from the grave and said, I have defeated death. And now you and I, we become the sons of God by believing in him, in his name. You believe, yes, I am a sinner. You see, when I was 14 years old, I realized that I knew the law showed me I was a sinner. And the scriptures taught me, they made me wise to salvation. And I realized that Jesus died for my sins. And at 14, I said, God, I turn from my sin. I'm sorry. I have failed you. Forgive me of my sin. And Lord, I believe that Jesus died for me. And I received the gift by believing in his name. And Jesus, that day, I can't explain it fully other than tell you what the Bible says. I became his child. Isn't that a wonderful thing? I, that moment, at 14, at 644 Maple Hill Drive, West Carrollton, Ohio, in the back bedroom, my dad sitting there talking to me. That moment, I was taken out of darkness and brought into his marvelous light. Because the law taught me I was a sinner. And the scriptures made me wise to salvation. And I'm thankful that the Lord Jesus Christ, through the Holy Spirit, he convicted my heart, and he convicts. That light, by the way, shines upon every man. If you're listening today and you're not saved, that light is shining upon you. He wants you to be saved as well. What must I do to be saved? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Then those who are saved, and I just close with this. There was that former condition, we were in darkness. But the Father's call brought us out that we might show forth the praises of him in this marvelous light. We have, now that we are saved, a fabulous calling. We have an unbelievable privilege now. What is our privilege, preacher? To share this good news with everyone that we can. And it goes on in the rest of this chapter in 1 Peter there. We don't have to go back there. Yeah, but it talks about how we ought to live a holy life, an honest life, a humble life. You know, that we may be hurting at times, but someday we're going to be with the bishop and the shepherd of our souls. Someday we're going to be with the Lord Jesus Christ, and what a day that's going to be. I know I'm going to heaven today, not because I've been a good person, because I've not. Not because I've done some good things, because even me at my best, I'm still a sinner. But I'm going to heaven because I trusted what Jesus did for me. And that day, I was taken out of darkness and placed into His marvelous light. If you are saved this morning, praise the Lord. But understand, you're going to be frustrated. You're going to be always offended and stumbling if you're living a life of disobedience. Give your life to God. If you're not saved today, that light, the Lord Jesus wanted you to hear the glorious gospel again today. Would you please today believe and put your faith in Him? Say, what will happen? Just what the Bible says. You will become God's child. But we have to see that, yes, I am a sinner. Repent of our sin and faith in Jesus Christ.